So who runs the mix?
That's a good question. Whether the mix is a physical building or not that everybody has to come to, or is just a mesh of wires between the different providers, or a high-speed switch sitting in somebody's basement. There are a number of ways of doing it. There's certainly dangers of creating a monopoly of the organization that runs the mix and charges a fee to connect to the mix and so on.
Should the federal government or a state government be the mix provider?
Oh, I hope not. Naive in this area of human endeavor as I am, I would imagine the providers serving a metro forming a, the San Francisco Metropolitan Area IP Providers Association, and everybody chip in and create the facilities to form the mix. Clearly, there still has to be a numbering authority, someone who hands a metropolitan area block of addresses that here's your prefix and you get to use this. I envisage something like a national chapter of the Internet Society or something being responsible for that in each country.
It sounds like in order to go from one service provider to another, the service providers need to coordinate with each other. Is that true?
For some definition of coordinate, the simplest model is imagine all the providers came together at a common LAN, something high speed.
A piece of fiber running throughout the city, for example.
I'm thinking more of,
one in the building.
An FDDI ring or something, where every provider attaches a router to it. What each provider has to do is know its own customer sites. So when packets arrive from outside the metro area into that provider, it knows, do I deliver it to one of my own sites? And if so, I have my internal routing that does that. And if it's not one of my customers, I have to send it towards the mix. And in the sort of the least coordinated way, you could imagine the router attached to the mix doing something equivalent to an ARP, saying, okay, whose customer is this? Getting an answer back, caching that, and forwarding the traffic to the new provider. And, if that subscriber that you're sending to now changes to another provider, that forwarding stops working, you get back you've got the wrong address, you try a different. So you can imagine the interconnection simply being a passive medium like LAN, and no need for any coordination other than, a protocol for asking whose customer is this.
Let's say I'm on a strictly local network, a strictly local service provider, and I want to send data to another metropolitan area. How do I pick which of the other service providers that are connected to my mix I use as my transit network? We're getting into the policy routing question
right here,
obviously.
Right. One thing I should make clear is despite my talking about this somewhat in a telephone analogy, there's no necessity for a strict separation between local providers and long-haul providers. So your Sprints or your long-haul providers, your MCIs, whatever, can, in my model, provide service directly to the customer.
Exactly. And the reason I picked a strictly local provider is because that way we now have the question of which of the other service providers can get me to another metropolitan area.
Right. And so you've postulated a model that's much more like the current phone system where you have a local provider and then a number of options for leaving.
Right. But it's understood those long-distance providers are also local providers in this case.
Right. And they're something very similar to what you do with the phone system, which is you register who is your default provider or your preferred provider, maybe under some circumstances like, during this time of day, I like my traffic to go over long call carrier X, and this time of day, long call carrier Y, or for this type of service traffic that I've labeled appropriately. So you would register sort of your default preferences, same way I register my preferred long-distance phone company with Pacific Bell. And then something like SIP provides loose source routing, which would allow you to do the equivalent of dialing some prefix to select a different provider. It would be done by saying, okay, send to this destination, but make sure you go through this cluster of topology instead of my preferred route.
Are we going to end up, do you think, with a system based on settlements between all these providers so that if I, if I pump three gigabytes of data in on a day and you pump 5 gigabytes in, you owe me money? Or do you think we're going to be able to continue the current model in which everyone just connects up and we call it a wash?
The whole issue of how to charge for Internet services is a fascinating and thorny one. The model that makes sense to me, but again, as I said, I'm not this is not an area where I'm naive, probably, but currently people pay for their internet service by paying, mostly by paying a fixed monthly rate based on the bandwidth of their access line. And that sounds like a perfectly fine model for me, to me, for unreliable datagram traffic. The network's making no promise it'll deliver your packets. Most of the time it gets through, and if it doesn't get through often enough, you'll stop paying for it. But for a network that doesn't offer to guarantee your traffic, I don't think you should have to pay on a per traffic, or per packet basis or per connection basis. On the other hand, we are seeing movement towards establishing support for real-time services, preferred services through the internet, which will require some kind of setup protocol, look for quite connection-oriented, and that you'll ask for special treatment for your packets, like a low delay or certain jitter bound, and you'll engage in a setup, a sort of a negotiation with the network, saying, "Will you provide the service?" The network comes back, says yes or no. If it says yes, then I can imagine you being charged on a sort of per reservation or promise basis because your packets are getting preferential treatment. So a system where this current unregulated best efforts datagrams continues to be charged at a flat rate, plus you pay per connection charges for special treatment, sounds like it's a very sensible model to me.
Sounds like now, a simple model, too.
Right. Now, how the different providers negotiate among themselves to charge back and so on is something I haven't even thought about. As I said, I had a model that there isn't the strict division between local providers and long-distance providers. I imagine so you wouldn't expect to get a separate bill from your long-distance provider and your local provider. You would get your bill from your local provider. That provider would negotiate, would establish pairwise agreements with other providers to carry traffic to various other destinations, but that would all be blended back in the bill you got from your local provider.
That's very similar to how we do international telephone service these days.
Right.
Speaking of international, one of the dreams I've always had is to be sitting there with my laptop flying on an airplane and staying on the internet while I'm doing it, true mobile computing. Have you given any thought to the questions of mobility issues in IP or mobility issues in other places in the stack?
It's a dumb question. Of course I have.
I wouldn't have asked it if I thought you hadn't.
Yeah, I'm the chairman of a working group of the IETF, which is supposed to be specifying protocol extensions to IP to support mobility. And, in fact, we have about four solid proposals before the group and are going through the pain of trying to sort out which we prefer because they all seem to solve the problem.
Are there some common elements in the proposals?
Oh, yes. And part of the distinction sort of between them becomes different engineering decisions. In all of them, there is some need for a mobile machine to detect when it's in a new environment. So there are some kind of periodic beacon messages or advertisements or something from those routers or base stations that can support mobile machines so that the mobiles can hear, oh, I'm in a new cell or a new subnet or whatever. And they all have mechanisms for something that looks kind of like a directory, so that when something is roaming away from its home area, it registers back home to say where it is, and packets, when a static host trying to send to a mobile host doesn't initially know where it is, the packets go towards the home destination, where somehow they'll hit this directory and get redirected to where the mobile is. But there are all sorts of degrees of freedom in how you define that directory. Is it a single node? Is it the set of routers on a home network? And so on, and some of the proposals differ in sort of how they've made the engineering trade-offs and how they've partitioned the functionality of this directory service.
How far away do you think we are from beginning to at least deploy some solutions to these types of problems?
The proposals all have been implemented, and one of the interesting properties is that all of these schemes work without modifying the vast majority of routers or hosts. Again, there's this. We always have this concern with the installed base. We can't update everything at once. And so the schemes tend to involve smarter software, IP software on the mobile, and smarter software somewhere at your home base, but no one else has to know you're doing this. So in fact, you can have all of these schemes can be going on concurrently and nobody knows. So they've all been deployed an experimental basis. Now, clearly, for interoperability and to be able to go buy a laptop and know it's going to do the right thing, we would like to come up with an agreement on a standard for that. And
well, we have four standards to pick from then.
Yes.
Nice thing about standards is there's so many of them. Well, thank you, Steve Deering. This is Carl Malama, and you've been listening to Geek of the Week.
This has been Geek of the Week, brought to you by Sun Microsystems and by O'Reilly & Associates. To purchase an audio cassette or audio CD of this program, send electronic mail to radio at ora.com. Internet Talk Radio, Flame of the Internet.